preached this one many times, so it won't be much anything new, but very good, very practical things that we need to go over. And so the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 1, short enough, I think we can read the whole thing. Amen. Can y'all stand for all of it? All right, so let's stand the reading of God's Word. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we come to you tonight grateful and thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us another year to serve you, another year to try to become a better Christian, another year to just take in your word and to serve you. I pray, Father, that we'd not take this year and just misuse it. But Lord, use it for thy glory and your honor. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks for it. And Lord, we ask you to please continue to bless our church and watch over us, Lord. I know this time of year we go through a lot of sickness, and I pray, Father, that you help us to stay healthy, Lord, that we may serve you better. And Lord, it's hard to serve you when we're at home sick and unable to do things. And I pray, Father, that you would just give us health that we may serve you and serve you well. Please watch over us tonight. I pray that you'd bless this time, Lord, of preaching. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Use me as you so choose this evening, Lord, for thy glory. We love you, and we thank you for all you do for us. And please be with us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The book of Psalms, many folks find a lot of comfort in the book of Psalms. Matter of fact, I talked to a lady today, and she was not doing very well mentally wise. And I told her, you need to go to the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm chapter 23. You need to read that. And you need to read it, and not just read it as a psalm, but as the Heavenly Father is talking to you, and as the Heavenly Father to his daughter. And so y'all, I don't want to give any names out, but y'all pray for her. She's having a difficult time, and just keep her in prayer. And Lord knows exactly who it is. But the book of Psalms is a great book, just like Proverbs. You know this, Proverbs helps us deal with people and relationships with people. Psalms teaches us about our Heavenly Father and God. We learn how to talk to God through the Psalms. The disciples asked Jesus, he said, "Teach us to pray." And so, you know, Jesus, he went through and said, "Lord, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And you know how the Pope wanted to change all that. And, you know, he just feels like he can change the Word of God whenever he wants to. You just can't change the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and you leave it the way it is. But we learn to talk to God. We love David. I don't know anybody that doesn't love David, the character of David in the Bible. And David was one that a lot of times we can identify with. I mean, none of us have really gone and took a bear and a lion by the beard and slew it, or a giant, but we can identify with a lot of his faults and even with some of his victories as well. And same way with Peter, we can identify with his faults and some of his victories as well. And we identify with David in some of those aspects, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote a great portion of them, was a great musician. And so we go to the Psalms knowing the background of David and all of his faults, and we see how he talks to God, and that ought to in turn teach us how we can talk to our Heavenly Father as well. The Bible says to come before his throne boldly. And I think a lot of times we come before his throne with timidity and just meekness, which we ought to be meek when we come to God. But the Bible does say to come before his throne of grace with boldness, that we may obtain mercy in our time of need. And so I know my place with my Heavenly Father. I know I'm but a sinner. I'm fallible, and there's nothing righteous about me outside of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But when I come before his throne, I'm not coming in my name. I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only boldness that I can have when I come to his throne. What is one of the greatest duties of the church, anybody? The greatest duties of the church? Huh? Spread the gospel, that's number one. Prayer is another one. You go to the book of Timothy, and Timothy is that one of the main duties of the church is, yes, to spread the gospel, but it's not going to do any good if we don't salt that with prayer. And it's not going to do any good to go and teach a class if you don't just pepper that with some prayer. Prayer is one of the main duties of church, and prayer, it's the book of Psalms. Yes, it is a song book, but it's also a book of prayers. There's a lot of things that are talking about prayer there. And I just want to go in this evening about Psalm 1 and just get that started, and Lord willing, we can go through that. And but number one, I want you to see that Psalm 1 is kind of like the stepping off stone to going in the rest of the book. And you know, Psalms, I don't know if you know, Psalms is broken up into five different books. And we're going to hopefully look at some of those things later on. But tonight, I just want to jump right into Psalm chapter 1. And Psalm chapter 1 deals with the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And if you're looking for a title, brother, it's just the way of the righteous and the wicked. So it's giving a comparison. But I want to look at that tonight. And number one, I want to look at relationships. The first couple of verses deals with relationships. And I'll look at that. Look in verse 1 with me. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So there are several different relationships here that I think the Lord wants us to look at. Number one is the relationship that we have with our counselors. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." There's one thing about the ungodly. They're always going to have something to say. They're always going to have an opinion. They're always going to have a plan. They're always going to have a way. And they want to sway you to that way. You don't believe me? Just watch television for a little bit, and you'll find out the ungodly has all kinds of plans and all kinds of ways. And there's just a multiplicity of things that they want to get you to come and do and join in. You go to the mall, you go to a restaurant, you go anywhere out in the world, and they're going to have some kind of counsel for you. And so counsel being an opinion or a plan or some sort of purpose. Now, the ungodly, that could mean a couple of different groups of people. One, it could mean the religious crowd out there, Catholics, Presbyterians, those kinds of folks. Those are not godly people, and I don't mind saying that. I'm just going by the Bible, not Brother Winkle. The Bible says that unless you come by Jesus Christ, there's no way you can come to the Father. I was watching the news tonight, and they gave a 5-minute tidbit on the guy that was over the president of the Mormon Church, and they were just talking about all of his background and when he was born, all that kind of stuff. And why are you giving that guy 10 minutes on the news? And the Pope, when anything happens to the Pope, they give him, I mean, just a full 5-10 minutes. It's crazy. You know, when a fundamental Baptist preacher passes away, they don't give nothing to him. And I tell you what, that guy right there has more honor in his little pinky than the Pope and the guy that led the Mormon Church. Those guys have led more people astray than a whole lot of other folks. We preach the Word of God, and we ought not come put ourselves underneath the counsel of the ungodly. We as Christians, first and foremost, we get counsel from the Bible. Amen. You ought to get counsel from the Bible. I am not a counselor. I'm a Bible preacher. And if someone comes to me with a problem, I'm going to take you first and foremost to the Word of God and say, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. And if you ever come to me, I'm already going to ask you one of two things. Number one, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? And are you tithing? Those three things will get a Christian in trouble quick. And so before you ever come to me, examine yourself. And I've been reading in the Psalms, and I got to Psalms 4. And I'm kind of giving a little bit of what Psalms 4 is, but the Bible says to commune with your own heart upon your bed. Y'all know, remember reading that? I got to think about that. It says, the Bible's telling me to have a conversation with myself. Amen. So I laid in bed and I started talking to myself. Of course, my wife is in my head. And as I said, okay, what do you want to do this year? You want to be? I just started trying to commune with my own heart and try to just figure out, hey, it helps you order your heart, order your thoughts. Amen. The ungodly. We as Christians, we get counsel from the Bible. You ought to get counsel from your pastor because I'm concerned about your soul. The Bible says that I'm to look out for you. And I can't do that if I'm not allowed to help you. And if you come to me for help, I'm going to take you to the Bible. You can get counsel from someone that's been in the faith for a long time, that served God for a long time, that's wise, and you know they're not living in sin. You can get some good counsel from folks like that. Sometimes I'll get counsel from other pastors I got a lot of respect for. And I admire their ministry. I admire what they do for the Lord. And so I'll go to them for counsel sometimes. How do you do this? What do you think about this right here? I got this one church member that gets under my skin. No, I don't ask them that. But amen. But the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful where you get your counsel. Be careful where you get your counsel. Number two, and then it says sinners. Sinner, we're all sinners, okay, so there's nothing getting out of that. But a sinner is someone that has broken a commandment, broken a law, someone that is lawless. It says, standeth in the way. And I know y'all understand the progression that is there as well. I won't go over that. But it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you don't listen to the counsel. If they give you counsel, you don't walk in that counsel. You walk in the counsel of God. Then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean if someone's walking down the sidewalk, I'm going to stand in his way. What it means is going that direction, doing the same thing that sinners do, thinking the same way that they think, and just going about the way a sinner goes about their life. We don't do that as Christians. We go about our life the way the Word of God tells us, not by what some self-help book tells me, or what Oprah Winfrey says, or whoever the main person is today. I don't know who it is, but we don't go by their counsel. We don't stand in their way. We stand in God's way. But also, I want you to notice, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. All right, so I think the Bible's not only just saying sinners, other sinners, but me as a sinner. You know, I don't want to stand in my own way. I want to stand in God's way. I want to stand the way that God wants me to go. And the Bible says that every way seems right to his own man. That every way seems right. And there, let me read it for you. How about that? I got it right here. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we as Christians come across a problem in our lives, we should never immediately think, okay, how should I handle this? The first we should immediately, how does God want me to handle this? That is the proper way for a Christian to handle things. And so I don't want to handle things how I think they ought to be handled. If I did that, I'd be in a mess. Matter of fact, any messes I've got into is because I've done things my way and not God's way. And so first off and foremost, the Word of God telling me, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And then it says, these are talking about relationships now, so excuse me, and nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scornful is those that mock, those that make fun. They make fun of the way we do things. They make fun of the way we dress. They make fun of you go to church three times a week, and I don't know if you know of anybody like that, but there are people out there like that. I had a friend, I use that term loosely, but I had a friend, he's Presbyterian, and worked with him out at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and we would talk back and forth, and he was I don't know if this is all Presbyterians, but it seems like it. They're always very condescending in the way they talk to you, almost like a liberal does to a conservative. You know how liberals talk to conservatives? They talk down. It's almost like how Presbyterians would talk to a Baptist. And they have this website. It's called, I don't even want to mention it, but there's a website out there. I know you'll go look it up. But there's a website out there, and it's all about fundamentalists and about fundamentalist ways. And they're mocking and making fun. And you're not making fun of my ways, because it's not my way. It's the way the Word of God told me to do it. And so they're not mocking me. They're mocking my God. They're mocking the instructions from the Word of God. And so, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't get bitter like they got bitter. Don't sit with them. When you sit with somebody, what are you doing? You fellowship. We don't, you know the Bible. I know the Bible says you ought to love one another, and you know, and try to feed the poor and take care of people and those kind of things. But do you realize the Bible says there are some people you should not hang around? You realize the Bible says that if there is somebody that causes division, you stay away from that person. Don't even eat with them. You don't fellowship with them. The Bible says for us to stay away from a group of people. Scorners are one of them. And then the last one, talking about relationship here, is the law of the Lord. It says, but in his law doth he meditate day, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So there's two relationships here with our Bible. It may seem kind of odd, but I know you understand what I'm saying. I have a relationship with this book. I don't know if that seems odd to you or not. If it does, you might not see the Bible like I do. But this book, I've got a relationship with this book because this is my only attachment physically to my God. I don't worship the book, don't get me wrong. I don't kneel down and bow to the book and I'm blah, 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 bing, bang. I don't do that kind of weird stuff. But this book is my lifeline, just like prayer is a lifeline. And this book helps me, teaches me, comforts me, and tells me how I ought to live my life. And so, blessed is the man that not only walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So, that takes us to number two. You got your relationships, and now you're going to see the results of the righteous. The results of relationships, the results of the righteous. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. All right, so notice a couple of words here. And he shall be. Remember when you go door knocking, soul winning, and you're talking about the very last point, and Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, for whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. How do we explain that? When we say shall be, it means will be. It means will be. That means if you accept Christ, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I'm saying is that when you accept Christ, you will be saved. Not might be, not could be, but will be. Same thing here. But and he will be, shall be, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I know I just preached a sermon about the root of the righteous, but one of those things about trees is a good, healthy tree is always growing. It's always growing. And a Christian that is healthy is always growing. And here it gives you some good tidbits about the results. Okay, his delight, law of the Lord, and he shall be. That and is a conjunction telling you whatever happened before. Look what he says. All right, so if I don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, and if I don't stand in the way of sinners, and I don't sit in the seat of the scornful, and I delight in the law of God, and I do meditate in his law day and night, here's the results you're going to get. But can I tell you something? You can't mix and match. You got to have it all. You can't just stay away from the wicked people and not read the Word of God and love the Word of God and get the results in verse 3. You can't listen to counsel of the ungodly, but delight in the law of God and still get results of verse 3. You understand where I'm coming from with that? You got to have, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful and delight in the law of God and meditate in His law day and night. And then you're going to be like a tree planted by the waters. If you remove any one of those ingredients, you might not be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look at something here. A couple of things I want to look at. He says, shall be. So you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a tree that's growing, that is healthy. And then you shall be like a tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Okay, in his season. This tree doesn't, it does what it you expect it to do. You plant an apple tree, what are you expecting? Apples. Very easy. Nathan, we were leaving out, I think, Sunday night, and I don't know when it was, but I think Nathan said, Dad, there's an apple on our tree out here in the church right here. A little bitty tiny thing. I wouldn't eat it, but I didn't expect it to bear any fruit because it's more of a northern tree, not a southern tree. That said, if you get any apples, they're going to be really tiny. But if we had something like a pecan tree, okay, they like to produce down here. You get a pecan tree, I expect it to produce pecans. Okay, you know what God expects of us? I heard a preacher say one time, God has no expectations of us. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What? That didn't sound right to me. I can see a lot of expectations in the Bible that God has of me. I've got expectations of my children. I expect my children to do things. When I ask them to do things, when I tell them to do things, I expect them to respond in a certain way. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. God has expectations of us. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. God expects every Christian to bear fruit. Let me say it again. God expects every Christian to bear fruit. It's just what he expects. And then it says it shall be. Now also with that fruit thing, that doesn't mean it's going to produce 24/7, 365. Fruit comes in seasons. Fruit comes in seasons. There's a time that you're going to produce, and there's a time when you might not produce. But here's the thing. If you never, ever produce, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Every Christian ought to produce fruit. And then shall be like a tree that his leaf also shall not wither. Now, you remember in the Bible when Jesus healed a man with the withering hand? You ever seen somebody had a hand that was kind of withered up and they can't use that hand because it's withered up? And Jesus touched his hand and he stretched it out and became whole again. Or you think of our tree out here. When you walk out, you see sometimes those leaves are kind of curled up a little bit. They don't quite look all the way healthy. I was worried about it for a little while. But it's kind of curled up. They weren't withered, but they looked like they were going that direction. You ever see a tree with it's just dead, and the leaves are all withered up and shriveled up? That's not good. There's something, you know what that tells you? There's something wrong with the tree. There's something wrong with it. That means it's not getting the water that it needs to get so it can supply the nourishment to the leaves. Are you following me? And so that means you got to doctor that tree up a little bit. You got to call the tree doctor. What do they call a tree doctor? Tree doctors. Oh, thank you. All right. I know there's some certain fancy name, but I can't come up with it off the top of my head. Not a horticulturist. That's something totally different. Anyway, arborist. Arborist. I think that may be it. Anyway, tree doctor. There, we'll go with that one. All right. Should be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. You know, think about it for a minute. A tree that's planted by the rivers of water, he has a constant supply of nourishment. A constant supply of nourishment. We have a constant supply of nourishment right here in the Word of God. And we have to be in it daily if we're going to nourish our spiritual man. We have to feed upon the Word of God if we're going to be better Christians in 2018 than we were 2017. If you want to be a better Christian, you must have a relationship with the book, the Word of God. A daily relationship with this book. Reading it. And let me also say this. Not just reading it for reading's sake. Not reading it to fulfill, I read my daily reading on the bottom of the Baptist bread. I read that thing, and so I fulfilled my commitment. You'll never be a good Christian like that. You're just a... Read it like God is actually talking to you. Read it as though it meant something to you because it ought to. Read it as though it was a love letter. Really, read it. Study to show thyself approved. Delight in the book. Then the Bible says, if you do these things, and ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that will get that constant nourishment. You're going to bring forth your fruit in your season, like you ought to, like expected. And you shall be a tree with its leaf, also will not wither. There's a lot of Christians, they wither up. You know one of Paul's main worries? He worried about this. Anybody know what Paul's worry was? That he will not be a castaway. He didn't want to wither up on the vine. He didn't want to be put on the shelf. He didn't want to come to the place in his life where God was going to overlook him and use somebody else. He wanted to be used of God. He made himself available. He wanted God to use him. He didn't quit after somebody beat him half dead and threw him out the city. He didn't quit when he found out a bunch of Pharisees took an oath and said they weren't going to eat until Paul was dead. Instead, he let the disciples lower him in a basket outside the city wall, and he went on. He didn't worry. He didn't stop serving God when almost every time he went to a city, he either caused a great revival or a great revolt. Either way, Paul was stirring something up. And constantly people were trying to come at Paul and kill Paul. He was so worried that he didn't want to wither up. He just kept going and kept going. And he didn't quit because he wanted to serve God and he did not want to be a castaway. This wither has that same tendency, that same thought behind it. If you stay in the book and you read the book, you're just not trying to fulfill a commitment and read the Bible in a year just to mark off a card. If you're reading the Bible like you should be reading the Bible, you'll never wither up as a Christian. You have God's promise on that. He says, look what it says in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you see the opposites in verse 1 and verse 2? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We get our counsel from the Word of God. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. The Bible shows me that I'm a sinner. It shows me my condition. It shows me the way of God. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The Bible shows me how to get out of that scornful, bitter actions that people take. It tells me how to get out of those things. There's a contradiction in 1 and 2. And it tells me in verse 3, the results, if I listen to verse 1, and I do what verse 2 tells me, I shall be like a tree. And it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then number 3, the results of the ungodly. We saw the results of the righteous, now the results of the ungodly. Verse 4 through 6, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which a wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a couple of things here I want you to see about the ungodly. Number one, they're flaky. They're flaky. They'll go with any wind of doctrine. They'll go this way. They want to get their ears tickled. They want to feel good. And they just want to go this way. Oh, wait, let's go over this way. They're just flaky. They're also feeble. Bible says that they shall not be able to stand in the day of judgment. And then they're forfeiting. Look what it says. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They have forfeited the right to be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous because they've rejected Jesus Christ. And then they're also fatal, their end. It says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Contrast that with the way of the righteous. The Bible says that nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Can I tell you, we as saved people are favored. We are favored of God. And the favor doesn't come to us because of who we are. The favor comes to us because we believed in the Son of God. The favor comes to us because we have put our trust and our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then looking also in the way, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows our frailties. He knows who our friends and our foes are. He knows our future, our fate, our faith, our fears, and that's all the F's I could think up for them. The Lord knows our ways. He knows the ways of the righteous. He knows we're but dust. But yet, when he sees that piece of dirt trying to live a godly life in Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he was wanting when he started this whole thing. When we take a few minutes out of our busy day, and we put a premium on the Word of God, and we start our day off with it, and we end our day with it, maybe stick it in the middle of the day as well, and we have a steady diet of the Word of God, can I tell you that's exactly what God is wanting? That's what he intended when he had so many people die to get us this book. You know, you realize there's people that died to get this book to us? Countless Baptists, they might have been called Baptists back then, but they sure held the Baptist doctrine, doctrines of the Word of God. And they died to get this book to us. You know, God wants us to study and to cherish and to delight in the Word of God. And the whole thing comes down to this. One thing, I think you can just take Psalm 1 and just put it into one word or one set of words is, the Bible. If you live by the Bible, you'll be like a tree planted by the waters. If you live by the Bible, you will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you live by the Bible, you won't stand in the way of sinners. If you live by the Bible, you won't sit in the seat of the scornful. If you have a steady diet of the Word of God, you're going to delight in the Bible. You meditate on the Word of God, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever you do will prosper. Anybody not want to prosper? Man, I would like to be a prosperous pastor. I want to be prosperous as a father. I want to be prosperous as a Bible teacher. I want to be prosperous in everything I do. I want to be prosperous in everything that I do. This book right here is the key for it right here, folks. How much time did you spend last year with it? Determine you're going to spend more time with it this year. Because this book right here is the key to having a great walk with your Heavenly Father. Lord, love.